Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Life Conversations Radio Network is expanding to become a global media for spiritual growth and transformation, and we want your support. Help us take it to the next level. If you listen to 1 minute, 5 minutes, or weekly to Life Conversations Radio Network, you are renewed, restored, and rejuvenated with guests who will inspire you to love and honor you. By funding this project, you are investing in yourself and humanity. We even have wonderful rewards when you contribute. Go to pleasefund.com/pages/347 for more detail. That's pleasefund.com/pages/347. We are one. It's time to share the message.
Hey, folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up. Speak out and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Or live. your mind is full of unnecessary thoughts and the world is pulling you down. Lift your head up high, get your chin up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the light. When your heart is full with the clutter of your life and the rain is falling all around, hold your head up high, take your feet up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the
women and children who sing for the dying.
Feel the tap, tap, tap in your consciousness, in your being. Sometimes we feel the tap and we ask him, what do you want me to do? You want me to live again? You know what the answer is.
To live again.
Yes, 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 yes. Do you want me to give again? Do you want me to forgive again? Do you want me to heal again? Yes, again and again and again. It's an onward journey. Every moment gives you an opportunity to live again, to give again, to forgive again, to create this perfect space and opportunity to represent God on earth, to represent love on earth, to represent joy on earth. Tapping Charles Holt. To find out more about Charles, his website address is charlesholtproductions.com. charlesholt.com. And that song, Tapping, he did that at Agape International Spiritual Center. And we started the show off, with Carly Jackson with the affirmation, reminding us who and what we are, what we're going through, and remembering the truth, no matter what we're going through and growing through. And first song we played was Cynthia James, Standing in the Light. And if we remember we're standing in the light, we start to feel a little bit more grounded. We start to feel our balance, like, okay, no matter what, it looks dark, but I am the light. It looks dark, but I am the light. I'm not sure if I can make it, but I am the light. It's all a prayer. So we've had a wonderful prayerful time. And thank you all for tuning in. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you're alive. You make a difference because you listen to the show. As a matter of fact, you make a difference simply because. Like kids would say, why did you do that? Because what? Because, and we say, because what? But the truth is, when you be the cause for your life, you get to experience the effects. So you make a difference simply because. So you just choose to be, and then choose to be the cause of all that happens in your life. And even if you get caught off guard, even for whatever reason, you didn't anticipate the next moment, you did not segment intent, you rushed out of bed and you just thought, oh, it's going to be one of those days, and you get caught in the storm of consciousness, of projection, of judgment, or whatever, traffic, you can just say, in this moment, I choose to be the cause of what I desire to experience. It's all about inner work. It's all about remembering. It's all about recognizing. And it's all about representing God on earth. So every moment we have the opportunity to represent God. What is God? What is God? What is God to you? God is love. What is God? God is peace. What is God? God is joy. So every moment you have the opportunity to represent what God is. Every moment. And I'm grateful for your presence. Your presence as you show up to listen, to grow, to expand, to evolve and revolve. Just for tuning in. Thank you for being here. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. And all the shows are archived. So you can always download the show, come back and listen to the show. Subscribe on iTunes so you can subscribe and you have the show downloaded to your phones or your computer or your iPads and all the other stuff. To subscribe on iTunes, you just enter, you type in Life Conversations. Life Conversations will take you to the place. Directly to the button, to the functionality to subscribe to iTunes, and you can have it downloaded on your mobile devices or your stationary devices, like your desktop. Your laptop doesn't always sit on the lap. It's always moving around. And this is the month of September. Yes, I know you know that. But this month on Life Conversations Radio, we are focusing on balance and groundedness, helping you stay balanced, helping you stay grounded. And there are going to be some times when you're out of balance, or should I say, there are going to be some times when you feel out of balance. There are going to be some times where you feel you're tossed in the wind. So the guests that we bring on, the shows that we do, the conversation is to help you find your balance, and stay grounded, and even when you feel out of balance, when you feel you're being tossed in the wind, that if you just listen to 5 seconds of the conversation on this radio network, that you are transformed, that you will catch something that will shift your mind, your perception, it will shift it. That way you experience a miracle, because it's all in the moment, you know. It's all in the moment. In every, the moment is so fragile. Life is so fragile. And I don't mean that from a place of a detrimental perspective. I'm talking about in each moment. Just think about it right now. Your life can change. It can make a complete 180 turn right now. We may call it good or bad. just from a thought, something you hear, a phone call, something you read on the internet, just a thought can change your life completely, forever, for the best or for the bitter. So give me an opportunity to grow and go within and do some more work. So if you take time to just embrace, enjoy the moment, wherever you are, you can relax. You may even give yourself the opportunity to play a little bit more, to kind of relax. The life is too short to take it seriously, you know? It's about playing. But life is not fun if you've got stuff that you're holding on to. Sometimes some stuff you don't even know you're holding on to. But today we're going to help you unpack, unload, release the excess luggage. We're not even going to charge you for it because we recognize who we are representing. And Veronica Conway is in the house waiting, ready to tap into that core of who you are to help you see who you really are. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. For your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears, your disagreement, bring it all. This is the house of love. So whatever you bring to the table, it will be transformed for the highest and the best. That's the intention. Whatever you're moving through, growing through, and going through, bring it. We'll support you. Because we know the real work is happening on a deeper level. We just show up to assist the process. We, who are the we's I'm talking about? All of the we's that are in the house. We's are the we's that are here to support you. And some of the we's could be some of the listeners. I know Veronica is part of the we, and she's bringing all the we's that are walking with her. We are the ones standing here for your transformation. All you've got to do is say yes. You can say, all you got to do is say yes, like fluid to you. But you can do the sacred yes. Yes, experience the romance. But experience a romantic transformation that goes deep, that when you look at yourself in the mirror, you're tempted to kiss yourself like, damn, I look good. Damn, I'm good. Because you recognize that you are the light and you're responding to the tapping that is taking place within you. Number is 347-426-3346. We're taking your questions. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We're also taking your questions, your thoughts, your musing, if you will, on Ask Life Coach at a fan page, Ask Life Coach at a like page. And if you don't do Facebook, can't get on Facebook, you can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Lifeconversationsmedia.com. Click on the Life Conversations Radio tab, and then this drop menu, click on Ask Life Coach. I fill in the email, and Veronica and I will be happy to respond. And what else do I need to tell you? Yes, 1 o'clock, Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, around 1. Send me some love, some light, some energy. As I move through this wonderful experience that I'm going through and growing through. But I know all is well. I know all is well. Let me get ready to bring on Veronica. And actually, before I do that, Celeste, the website address for Charles Holt is actually charlesholtproductions.com. I don't think, that's not, he don't look like that. He's not an attorney. Charles Holt. H-O-L-T, Productions, with an S. That's his website address. And I welcome all of you in the chat and silent listeners, disguised guests. Tamara Joy is in their house. Tracy's in their house. Cheryl is in their house. And those of you listening on the phone line, thank you all. Yes, that's correct. Yes, thank you. And so let me pull up a little something about Veronica. While I do that, I want to give you another reminder. Because we forget, and we're here to help you remember that we are truly, truly one. And then we'll get ready for Veronica. I pull up everything that I need to prepare our conversation. Today's topic, today's theme, today's conversation is play to win from within. How you going to win if you ain't right within? I can't rap. but I pretend I can. I'm just going to play. I'm going to be right. I'm going to just affirm that I'm right with it. How you going to win? You say, okay, leave it alone. Some of you know that. That's from the great sage, Lauryn Hill, from A Thunder Duo. How you going to win? How are you going to win if you're not right within? Well, we're going to help you get right. We're going to help you be right. We're going to help you be the cause for your life experience. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And how do you get right? Here's a little tip from Carly Jackson. First, you recognize that we are one.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation. 'Cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
Yes, if you want to win, start from there. There is no separation and there's no competition. Now, yes, I know in the business world, they say to look at your competitors, but you know ultimately you're just going to be better than yourself, because your competitor will give you an opportunity to see where you need to grow and evolve. We're playing to win from within, and my guest is Veronica Conway. She's a certified professional co-active coach, a successful entrepreneur, and founder of 3 coaching companies. She got Tribe Coaching, and another one is Black Professional Coaches Alliance. She's a certified coach as well as a certified hypnotherapist and master. Well, she's a certified master NLP practitioner, NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming practitioner. She's a master business and financial coach and certified mediator. She graduated from the University of California at Berkeley. She resides in Northern California with her daughter, her pride and joy, Jordan, and her son, Jake. Yes, so she is a lover of life. She's a lover of humanity and a mother. which says a lot about Veronica. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful guest, Veronica Conway, my friend, my sister, myself. Hello, Veronica.
Thank you so much. Good morning, and it's such an honor to be here. I love your work. I'm a fan of your work. I think that that's how we connected on Facebook. I said I've been sort of stalking you as a fan for a while now. So I'm really honored and thrilled to be here. So thank you for having me, dear one.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. And you have been divinely appointed to be here today to do the show while I take a break.
I don't mind taking the control. No problem.
Indeed. I know you can handle it. Yeah, I'm going through some growing experience. So I say yes, and we're going to move together. But we're going to dance. We're going to support listeners.
Sure,
And playing to win. And to find out more about you, you know, there's so much I want to talk about. But we'll just take it one step at a time. We're going to live in the moment.
All right.
Now, some of the listeners may know about you. They came here because they heard you're going to be doing an interview, or they've seen you before, maybe seen you at some of the workshops you've done across America. But I want to ask you, because I read about you in on your bio, but I want to ask you, from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Veronica Conway?
So that's a great question. I would say that I am a spirit being, really, and that I have been, and my assignment, as you put it, is to be a conduit of what I have been privileged to encounter and to witness in my experience, to be a conduit of that experience and to be an open vessel so that I can impact other people and change their experience with what I've been blessed to experience. Because for whatever the reason, I have been given a colorful and illuminating journey. And in that, and so I've gotten to see a lot of things. I've gotten to see a lot of things, and I think it's been my capacity to synthesize those things and to kind of give them to people in a way that can support them in having meaning. So I'm a conduit of spirit, really, just a vessel.
Yes, as I listen to you, it triggered something for me. I know just a tiny little bit of your story, or should I say, I know your beginning, if you will, the beginning on this planet, because there's really no beginning, you know. It's just when you began this phase called Earth, and you were born, or you chose a wonderful family because you knew before you came on this planet that you wanted to be a change agent, and you needed family members, people who are going to help you be about change. Now, it may have been rough, and it may have caused you to feel, why me? But you came here as a spirit. Like, we're going to get this stuff together. And this is the best avenue I have right now. So I'm going to take it. So, for the benefit of the listeners, tell us a little bit about your story, your beginning state, and how you got to where you are, so they know what I'm talking about, for those who don't know.
Sure. And, you know, I mean, I think that we all, I'll say first of all, I think that we all have the opportunity to take whatever drama and trauma and story and circumstances and blessings that we've been given, and if we look at them deeply enough, they will inform you of your purpose. If by any chance there's anyone out there that is struggling to remember purpose, it's all you have to do is look in your history and look at it in a particular lens, and you'll very easily come to know what your purpose is. So for me, that gift was illuminated for me out of my story. And so I was born the child of a former Black Panther. And the Black Panthers were a political movement in the 60s and 70s. And there's a lot of mythology about what the Black Panthers stood for. But I will simply say that the Black Panthers were formed as a response to the circumstances that were happening in the African American community, in that the police were coming into the community and they were doing whatever they wanted to. They were treating people in the Black community however they wanted. And the Black Panthers found it in themselves to decide to take on an approach to policing the police in their community. It was really about protecting the women and the children that were there in that community, and they decided to sort of take a very masculine posture around it. It really had not been done. And because it was legal at the time to carry weapons that were unconcealed, they took up guns to police the police in the community. And so many people, you know, there's been a lot of mythology about the Black Panthers were, as a first-hand eyewitness, I can tell you what they really, the way they really began and what they really represented. And so in that experience as a Black Panther child, you know, my father was a captain in the Richmond chapter of the Black Panther Party here in Northern California. And he was fierce about what he wanted for the African American community. It got very political. If anyone is a child or a student of that period of history, it was very political. It was really the predecessor to the Occupy Wall Street movement in a certain way. My dad sort of believed back then what Occupy talks about now. But before I was age 7, I had experienced death threats against my life. My father was convicted of murder and sentenced to a life sentence in prison when I was age 7. But prior to his incarceration, I had attended school under an alias. I had witnessed police shootouts. I'd had a gun placed in my head. I'd experienced death threats against my life. And so I had a very sort of tenuous and dramatic and frightening, really, early childhood. When my father had his trial, it was a very high-profile civil rights trial here in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and we experienced death threats. I mean, it was very difficult. So, but what happened is that when he went to prison, and I began to see him, you know, we'd go and visit him. As I got older, I really, you know, my mother attempted to really normalize things for me as much as possible. We'd been through a lot. I was sort of traumatized. But I did see my father live as though he were free. And I saw so many people of African descent walking around living as though they were incarcerated. And so I really began to ask the difference, what difference it makes. Is what happens to you, is your state of freedom, is it a function of your circumstances or is it a function of the choices that you make? And I would say that Nelson Mandela, who, you know, was incarcerated for all those years, got up and walked out, made a decision to be free. And I realized that that was a state of mind and a state of consciousness more than it was a function of circumstances. And so as I got older, I was doing my own healing because it took a lot to recover from that particular childhood. I still have stuff today where I go back in with and I hypnotize myself and I, work on deep-seated issues that came out of that experience because, you know, your childhood can be the gift that keeps on giving.
It usually is, right?
It really is. By the time I got to college, I really began to look around the African-American community specifically and say, what is it that keeps us stuck? What is it that keeps us oppressed? What is it that keeps us underperforming in our, you know, as compared to the rest of the community? And so at some point, I, you know, founded a national organization of Black life coaches. We developed a whole curriculum of and a body of work that really using hypnosis and NLP and other modalities to kind of revolutionize internalized, what I call internalized oppression, what I came to understand as victim think. Because if one has been at the effect of this sort of conditioning for generations, one can't act outside of their identity. One can't act outside of what they believe. And so I took that work on a national scale, not knowing any, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I mean, I had never built a national organization before. I didn't know what I was doing. But we built it because the vision was there. So you know, I coach everybody. I've coached everybody from truck drivers to CEOs, athletes, celebrities. I've coached in the NBA. I've trained financial coaches in low-income communities to work with folks that were deeply impoverished. I mean, you name it, I've coached it. Out of that whole story and out of my own healing and out of the different communities that I've wanted to serve, I've probably studied every modality, every spiritual modality, and I bring that every day into the work that I do, and it's my it's my honor to be a conduit to be able to do that. That's a very long answer to your question.
No, this is called Life Conversations Radio, so it's a conversation, and as you know from listening to my show, I want people to share their story, because sometimes there's those of us who think the teachers that are teaching out there, the coaches and the whatever, the ministers, the motivational speakers, that they got their stuff together and they didn't go through challenges or they had a wonderful life. I mean, we all had a wonderful life. We just decide what side, we can decide which side of wonderful our life was. But it's important for me as a host, and when we're dancing together, I want to hear your story. I'm not necessarily interested in the PR conversation, because I want to get to your heart, and really that's what people are looking for now. Because in that, what you just shared with us, there's so much that I want to talk about. But I'm going to sort of move a different way and then come back, because I love what you said, that if you're struggling to know your purpose, just look to your childhood. That's so much. Yeah. But we're going to come back to that. And if I forget, please remind me, because I really believe that's the truth. Now, let's talk about today's theme topic in the whole thing about playing to win. What's the premise behind that? Because, you know, when you think about playing, when we're children, we think of playing outside in the playground with children. But as an adult, when we talk about play to win, we're thinking being competitive and making sure we come up on top and nobody's going to hold us down. What's the premise behind playing to win from within?
Yeah, well, it's a great question, and I first of all, winning I don't necessarily view as a zero sum game, in the sense of winning winners and losers. I do think that there are measurable. Every human life has a set of markers and measures that happen for that person that have them feel alive, vibrant, wealthy, prosperous, successful, you know, passionate, you know, whole. There are a series, and I think our spirit gives us those ways to come to know itself, you know. And so winning is really about meeting those benchmarks, those roadmarks, those stakes in the ground for a sense of sort of one's own self-development. So I don't see it as a zero-sum game per se. And I love what you're saying about playing, because playing, it's so interesting, because so often people come to me and to work with me because they want to do something different. And what happens by a few sessions in is that they become someone different. I don't mean they become someone different as so much as if they unwind their false self. It's more a question of remembering, as you said kind of in the opening, remembering who they really are. And that remembering of who they really are is playful and generous and loving, and it sees the game that this life is. But I think that playing to win from within also has to do with identity. I used to think that everything that happened in our results really came from our belief system. I've really, in a deeper way, as I've studied more and I've worked with more people, I've come to believe that really what we do come from our identity. And so what I mean by that is, it's who do you think you are? Everything emanates from that, and everything that you do is a function of that. And so so now I feel like my real role with people is to help them reclaim the identity and to kind of blow everything out of their awareness that's not congruent with that. So I'll give you an example. I recently, you know, and so my work is both playful and soulful and transformative, but it's also, and in that you can get amazing results, real-world material results. That's sort of the paradox of it. Some of my recent work with a client, he came to me and he's like, I'm fat and I'm not really engaged in my business, and I'm tired all the time, and my spiritual life isn't on to happen. I'm not dating anyone, and there was all of this stuff, right? And really, the work that I did with him was I really just went in there and knocked out the identity beliefs that kept him from realizing his true potential. And that's really all I did. I went in and I knocked out the identity. Who did he think he was? Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because in doing that, going in that directly, it went so fast, his transformation, which is when I really knew that that's really what I was on to. That's what I was really doing. And so, like, 6 sessions later, he had lost 20 pounds and he was eating very healthy and he was dating again. And he put $2.5 million on his books and his company. And more, and he's doing more and more and more. And so his spiritual life was back on track, and he came back into balance. And so all that was knocking out the identity, whatever the identity was of being overweight and not being engaged and whatever the identity was, this one, we just kind of deprogram that. And then he would jump up in his performance, right? And then at that level of performance, in the new identity, he needed a little bit of a new identity at the next level, right? What, if you're going to do $3 million, okay, so what's that identity? Okay, go in and knock anything out that's incongruent with that. Okay, great, now you bump up, right? And at the next level, what do you need to unplug? And it's just a question of unplugging the lower identity, not lower identities, but the previous identities in service of the next one. And that's all it really is. And that's why it would go, like, in 6 sessions, everything had changed. So when you talk about playing to win from within, it's really about that internal identity, that internal story about your identity and who you think you are. But if you can simply unplug that and rewire that, then change can happen really fast because you really are being who you are meant to be and who you are designed to be. It's just a question of clearing the lens and unplugging the stuff that's not true. And then everything else just happens.
Indeed.
Does that make sense?
Oh, well, it makes so much sense, because for me what I hear is really it's like everything that we come against in life, particularly the things that challenge us, it gives us an opportunity to go deeper again. It's like the challenge that we have is saying, who are you today? Who are you? Do you know who you are? And if we dance with that, if we embrace that, if we face that reality and say, okay, I'm going through this challenge, I feel like I want to get, let me ask myself, who am I? Be able to go deeper and go deeper and more deeper. I mean, you're going to keep going anyway. I don't know where it stops. I don't even know if it stops. but when we put it in language, we say we're spiritual beings. We're eternal. We were never born. We will never die. What does that mean? Well, that's a process of self-discovery. You know, intellectually, it sounds good. Oh, never born, we'll never die. Wait, really? But we have to experience that. You know, and people who struggle with their purpose, and I don't know what my purpose is. I'm still trying to figure it out, because you said something very profound, that people who are struggling with it, it's really about looking at your childhood. And looking at your childhood is like, let me go back to the beginning. What's my root?
Absolutely.
Where did I come from? Who am I? So any challenges that we're going through, and if that's it, and if listeners have a different idea, I'm open to it. But the way I see it right now, it doesn't matter if it's a health challenge, a relationship challenge, a personal challenge, whatever it is, this ease is an opportunity for you to go within and get right and ask yourself, who am I? Am I this challenge? Am I this relationship that's not working out? Am I my house that's being foreclosed
right.
on? To really ask ourselves big questions. Now, for those who are struggling, when we talk about, you were going to say something?
Well, I think it's so important what you're saying, because in that childhood piece is where all of your beliefs and identity, all your identity beliefs get formed. Even in the womb, because I'm a master hypnotist, I've regressed people back into the womb where they've made decisions when they were in their mother's tummy about how it was going to be. Or I've regressed them back into previous lifetimes or back into intergenerational wounds. And you can always find the root cause. We call it the gestalt. The root cause of whatever the story is can always be traced back into the early childhood or in the womb or even previous. And so if you don't go back and reexamine that, then it's like you have this thing that's running your life and you don't even know why or how it's doing it. It just is. And so it's so important to go back there. It's so I just wanted to underline what you're saying, like yes.
Mm-hmm. And you get to unlearn what you've learned and relearn something new.
Yes, absolutely.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. My guest is Veronica Conway. Her website address is her name, Veronica Conway. That's Veronica. Conway.com. You can find out more about her work. You can check out the beautiful face and the beautiful voice. Ah, that's what she looks like. And just by looking at her, you'll feel the light. We started the show with standing in the light. She's truly standing in the light and supporting others to recognize and represent the light that they are. Veronica, let's talk about this purpose thing, because I really want to go there. It's such a valid point. And people don't always, excuse me, make that connection. You said earlier, if you're struggling with your purpose, just go back to your childhood. Go back to the experience. And we've touched on it. Can you go deeper in that so people can actually understand fully what you're saying?
Sure. Well, you know, I just believe that we are sort of set here with an imprint of gifts and talents and, you know, challenges. And I just think we're sitting here with a very beautiful imprint of what we're meant to do and the experiences that we're meant to have. It gets handed down through our bloodline, and it gets handed down, you know, one of the best explanations I've ever heard, even about I'm not very big into astrology, but one of the best explanations I've heard about it is that was from Osho, and he talks about, you know, if in science you can look at like the trees and you can look at the oceans and the way the tides rise and fall, and every 80 years, for example, when there's these sunspots and there's the sun activity, you'll see this pattern on the planet, right? Like trees will have a different ring pattern, and oceans and the tides will have different patterns, and everything changes as a result of sort of this planetary activity that has to do with solar flares and all of this stuff. And so if that activity in the skies impacts everything on Earth, it impacts people too. And so the way Osho described it is, when a person is born, it's almost like they're a negative, and there's a configuration of planets in the sky, and there is this snapshot, and that person, when they're first born, they come out, and then there's this imprint. Snap like that, like a Polaroid, boop, right? And they're just imprinted with this configuration from the sky. And so that imprint it simply predicts tendencies and things that might happen because of that, because of the way that Polaroid was captured at the time. And so that feels like purpose to me, right? We are imprinted for certain things.
Yeah.
And so
and
with certain capacities and gifts and so we often have to. So there's a couple things about that. Either we know what that imprinting is and we know its value, Mm-hmm. Which mostly we don't, because unless we were raised in a very, very enlightened household, we don't necessarily understand. Our gifts are very invisible to us. They're very, because they're so innate and they're so intrinsic and they so much are a part of who we are, that we don't see them as gifts. And so we have to sort of go back and really discover and rediscover and remember what are the things, what are our innate talents, what are we innately inspired by, what are we innately compelled by, what are we innately attracted to. That is a sign of what purpose, it points to purpose. But then also we also have to go back and look at the challenges that we've been given in our childhood, because I believe that those things, the challenges that we're given, the emotional traumas and the wounding that we've been given, also hold a clue to our purpose. You know, they say your message, right? It's those things that we have overcome in spite of the hardship. It's those things that we've that we make choices to do despite the odds. It's you know, for me, for example, you know, when I was 18, I was having a fight with my mother, and I said, well, if you know, I was a little knuckleheaded, bratty 18-year-old, and I said, you know, if you didn't want me, you shouldn't have had me. And she said, I didn't have you. I'm not your biological mother.
Ooh.
And so I'm not your mother.
Oh gosh.
And this was a mother who raised me after the Black Panther Party, and she was white. So I went on a journey to find my biological mother, who was black.
Wow.
And it threw me into a massive identity crisis. I went, who am I? You know, am I the daughter of a panther? Am I white? Am I black? I mean, who am I? So I had to come to reconcile that part, that very question, who am I, is the thing that led me on the journey to do what I'm doing today. You see, so oftentimes we have to take those moments, those events that are the most wounding, and we have to heal from them. We actually have to go back and heal from them. You can't lead from them if you haven't healed from them. So you have to heal from them. So when you go back and heal for them, what I find, what I promise to everybody that's listening on the call, is that when you have the courage to go back and heal from them and face them, you will often find that purpose is like laid out very clearly on the other side of the healing. It's just, it becomes so obvious. It became obvious that out of my own trauma with doing with my identity and my you know, about who am I, that I would come to do work around identity and be a conduit for other people to find their own. So, but I could only discover that after I went back and did the work of healing it myself, right? So there's both finding the gifts and really coming into contact with your gifts and being willing to go back to your childhood and look and rediscover those and remember those and illuminate those. And there's also going back at the looking at the trauma and being willing to heal from that so that your purpose can actually line up. Often the emotional attachment to the trauma is the thing that keeps us stuck, and we can't hear our purposes clearly when we have all that other noise happening in our head.
And the noise sometimes is so loud, sometimes it's quiet, sometimes it's right in our faces. And we're like, what noise? I don't see noise. I don't hear noise.
Right, my mom calls it the committee, right? The committee of voices in your head. Right, like the committee,
Yes, yes, indeed. Oh, they show up with me. Sometimes they come on the show with me. And we'll be fighting who's got the mic. I'm like, no, I'm running the show. Y'all can sit down.
That's right.
After the show, we can talk.
Right.
Every now and then, they do come out and say some things. They catch me off guard.
The thing about that is that, in the committee and those voices, I mean, the thing is that that is often a part of yourself that is really longing to, because those voices can hijack you at times and get in your way, you know, and it's often a form of protection that has been developed over the course of your life. And so oftentimes if we begin a dialogue with those voices and actually ask those voices, what is it that they actually want? Like, what do you really want? what do you really want for me? What have you been trying? Why are you you're sabotaging me a bit here?
Yes.
And what are you trying to protect me from? Because there's usually a deeper meaning, a deeper reason that they're trying to protect you from. There's a deeper
right.
thing that they're trying to protect you from. And so just if you engage in conversation and communication with it, it will often dissipate the disempowering impact.
Wow, I feel like there's so many places your story is leading me. But we're going to take a break so I can let it all settle in and be led which direction to go. There's so much, because when you talk about at the age of 18 when your mother said to you, I didn't have you, it's like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, first you were coming back with the hardest punch where you're saying, if you didn't want me, you shouldn't have me. Bam. And she just knocked you out. And what did you just say? And,
right.
you know, I say that in a funny way, but that's definitely traumatizing. And then, you know, did you say, am I white, am I black, and your father's part of the Black Panther? I know that must have just created all kind of opportunity to do all kind of things. But clearly, you chose the one that's empowering you and empowering others. And
yeah.
when we come back, I want us to talk a little bit more about that and how, you know, the listeners can start to look at their past. And
mm-hmm.
use it as a manure fertilizer to move forward, to go deeper, and be able to play to win. Because for me, you know, there's a part of life that sometimes could be seen as a game, and it doesn't mean winning at the expense of others. It's just really winning at your a different kind of winning. We're winning, not that kind of winning, but the kind of winning where you feel inwardly you're sort of content, you're happy, you're joyful, you're at peace. And because there are people who so-called are winning and they have everything that we say we want. The people said materially we want the house, the money, the this. But internally, they are miserable. So when we
mm-hmm.
come back, we're going to talk about how to become what I call the spiritual archaeologist, you know, where we go in and excavate and go back and say, what is this? Oh, this is a statement from my grandmother. Where we go inside of ourselves to rediscover and discover
yes.
oneself. We're going to
yes.
take a break, and we're going to come back with Celestial Moment and then continue the conversation with Veronica Conway. Her website address is that, veronicaconway.com. I am so loving this conversation. I am so loving it because that's what it's about. You know, I share with you that I'm going through my body's healing, and it brings up a lot of stuff. It's actually, yeah, anyway, it brings up a stuff. It helps me recognize the part of my body that I take for granted. You know, the part of life that I take for granted. So that when there's pain, when there's discomfort, sometimes we can say, why me? But it's really an opportunity to go within and say, what is the message here? What do I need to know? What do I need to see? What is seeking to be birthed? The quality of your life is based on the questions you're asking yourself. It's time to go deeper. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We're taking your calls. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Celestial Moment. We are truly, truly daring you, lovingly daring you to live your best life.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio Network is expanding to become a global media for spiritual growth and transformation, and we want your support. Help us take it to the next level. If you listen to 1 minute, 5 minutes or weekly to Life Conversations Radio Network, you are renewed, restored, and rejuvenated with guests who will inspire you to love and honor you. By funding this project, you are investing in yourself and humanity. We even have wonderful rewards when you contribute. Go to pleasefund.com/pages/347 for more detail. That's pleasefund.com/pages/347. We are one. It's time to share the message.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudge nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
Yes, indeed. We are giving a voice back to the global community. Activating your throat chakra. The point of expression. Express yourself. You are here to express, not depress. When you depress, you feel heavy. You might even blow up. But when you express, you are light. You feel free. And you are enlightened because you're allowing the light in, and you could truly be the messenger of love, of truth. 347-426-3346. Time for Celestial Moment. And then we're going to take a call and continue the conversation with Veronica Conway, a coach, a spiritual teacher, and just a lover of humanity. You know, we haven't even scratched the surface of what she does. But if you hear her story, as you listen to her story, you can hear that there's so much more to her. And we're going to try and go a little bit deeper and hear more about what she has to share with us. It's time for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing?
I am wonderful on this Monday afternoon and morning, depending on where you are, with Veronica and Life Coach today. I am enjoying this conversation. But I have to say, Veronica, when you quoted Osho, it really tripped me out. I'm going to tell you why. This is what the show is about, because we really don't know how life is going to show up for us. But if we're paying attention, we'll get certain clues. Now, when you did that quote, I went back to, wait a minute, didn't I just see a quote from him, this mystic, this guru? I sure did, and it's from a chapter in a book that I'm be using for Celestial Moment, Chapter 4, called Living from Within, and I wanted to give the quote to you. Okay, here we go. Think of all the great words and great teachings as your deadly enemy. Avoid them, because you have to find your own source. So
that
came to me this morning. So by the time you did your piece with the astrology, I was like, well, that's her gift. And I'm going to say hello to the family and move on with Celestial Moment.
Before
now, you want
you
to thank you. You know, you just got to hold that. Now, I also want you both to hold the number 4 in your consciousness, and I invite the family too. All right, they're ready for a trick.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. It's Monday, September 17th, 2012. Add the date and you get 2038. Add 2038 and the energy of the day equals 13. Now, 13 is the death card in tarot and a coyote in medicine cards. But we are going to add one more time to see what's hiding underneath 13. 1 + 3 = 4. 4 represents stability and order, and the fourth letter of the alphabet is B. And words like destiny, daring, and direction connect us to the magical power of 4. The Emperor shows up as the fourth card in tarot, and that's where we're going to put the spotlight today. In a Rider-Waite deck, we find a king of a man seated on his throne. On his crown, we find an eagle. At his feet, we have another eagle, standing with wings stretched out, facing the same direction. The eagle represents great spirit and the ability to balance between heaven and earth. As a totem for the Emperor, we sense a promise of authority, follow through, and a drive to complete the task no matter what. Now, I know some of us get a little nervous when we start talking about just do it. The Emperor is a strong masculine energy, and it is also connected to the astrological sign of Aries. Oh, sure, let's just bring some fire to the situation. As the master of the physical realm, the Emperor reminds that we have the power in our hands. It is our thoughts that make it so. Or sometimes our thoughts make it feel like a no. Instead of focusing on a love of power, which is traditionally the focus of the Emperor, Dennis Fairchild suggests that we shift to the power of love. We do that by bringing some other friends to the party of four with the Emperor. The Emperor needs a heart to balance. The fourth chakra is the heart chakra. The Emperor also needs to remember gentleness, which is the gift of the deer, which just so happens to be the fourth card of the medicine cards. Blend all of these energies, and you will walk with compassionate power, which gives you the ability to treat yourself and others like royalty. Imagine creating heaven on earth because you showed up, ready to play to win, from within. All is well, and that's the story of four told through the Emperor. I'll see you around one for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you. Sharing your gem and your inspiration.
Beautiful.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, bringing some fire to the table. That's what I'm talking about. The fire of transformation. We're going to take a call in a minute. The number is 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And before the break, you know, Veronica was sharing her story with us, and not only her story, but tools. Because if you listen, not only she's mixing her stories, and if you listen, you can hear things you can do by going back to your past and look at the mess. When you embrace the mess, you get the message. And when you get the message, you become the messenger of truth, the messenger of love. You can't be a messenger if you're running from your mess. You know,
right.
You can't be afraid of the darkness if you want to shine the light.
Right.
It's a process. You know, today's topic is play to win from within. But there's a trick to this statement, to this topic. It's the play to win from within is really about doing the inner work, right? It's, Veronica, it's about doing the inner work, because I believe that when we do the inner work, we're destined, we're guaranteed to win, because doing the inner work helps us know ourselves, know what we want, what we desire, what makes us happy. You know, there are parts of us that need resolving, that we need to go through. And then you get to redefine what winning means for you. And
sure.
Before we take a call, Veronica, I want to ask you, so what about people, you know, I mean, when I listen to your story, for me, I'm thinking, oh, my God. I mean, she's just really, we haven't ever touched anything, because your life story sounds very colorful.
and I
say that from what you had to deal with. You know, you had to go to school with a different name. You've had a gun put to your head. Your father was convicted to life imprisonment at the age of 7. And what you went through with, you know, the stages of our life where we start to create a meaningful life. You've been through a lot. And for me, I feel like, oh, my God, I ain't been through nothing to her story. But there are all these people thinking, yeah, I know she went through that, but, you know, she probably had people to support her. But for them, they're thinking their life story is too dark, it's too painful. Or maybe they're even willing to go there, but they're just afraid. What do you suggest? What tools do you think people could start using to go back,
Because I think the going back is an ongoing journey. It never ends. It's not like
Absolutely.
You go back one time and clean up that mess and then you're done.
No. I headed back. I'm doing some work. I'm so appreciative of what Celeste did in the Celestial Moment in terms of all of the different modalities that she brings in. I'm not exactly in the closet about my all the esoteric things that I know in terms of the Enneagram and tapping and other, and even working with people with mentors around sexual energy and knowing a man who they believe is an incarnation of Osho who has the same level of power. And so I'm a big believer in like all the modalities. Just bring them. Bring all the Yama Van Zandt, who's a friend of mine actually, who just started a show on OWN. She said, you just channel technologies. You're a channel. You're a conduit for technologies. Like you can just dream something up, and then next thing you know, it's in front of you in your email inbox. She gave me that anointing. She saw that. So I say that as a context for like all the modalities or any modality or anything that works for you, do that. Because all roads lead to Rome and all roads lead home. And so any modality or approach that works for you, I think is powerful. But I would say, if for people that are, feeling like it's all too much, I would ask them to consider, what it's costing them to not unpack it. I always say you either have results or you have reasons. You either have the results that you want or you have a story about why you're not experiencing that. And I find that because we're such powerful reality creators and we're such powerful gods and goddesses, that what we hold in our consciousness, we broadcast it to our reality. It's not the other way around. Perception is projection. Right, so what we perceive as happening and what we filter for in our experience is typically a result of what's actually rolling around in our pretty little heads. And so, it's like whatever's rolling around in our pretty little head is the thing that we're broadcasting into reality. And so, whatever it is that you're experiencing is a function of that. And so, when we have things that are unresolved, then we tend to filter for the painful. We tend to filter for the disempowered. We tend to filter for ourselves as victims. We tend to filter for all of those things. And so, I would first of all, as just a first point of awareness, before you even go back, it's like listen for what is your inner conversation? What are the things that you're filtering for? What are the things that you're seeing in your reality? And begin to even just document those so you can get some awareness about what is happening in your mind. Just begin with the awareness. Because, and get curious about what that is and what, how that mechanism is sort of working. Going back, I mean, I would say that going back and people come to me so often and they go, oh, my God, I'm scared, I'm nervous to work with you, and I'm afraid to go back and look. And
they're scared to work with you. Why they've made a commitment? Because they know healing to happen.
Oh, I get that. I get that all the time. I'm like, I'll do a session with somebody and they'll go, like, I'm sweating. So much is emerging. Like, I'm sweating because it's like their particles start rearranging because – the truth has a way of doing that. And so what I would say to people is that it's not as painful as you would think. When we go back with the conscious, because in other words, it's not about going back and reliving it like in therapy. It's really about going back and relearning it, right? And so when you go back with that conscious intention, it's not as painful. You may experience the initial pain. It's like going back and ripping off a Band-Aid. You may experience the initial pain, but there's so much freedom on the other side of it that once you begin to do that, I mean, people that, they become sort of junkies for good, right? They get addicted to the clearing because the subconscious mind is just begging. It's just begging. It is craving to have this kind of space because in that space where you begin to clear and relearn those things, infinite creativity is possible out of that space. So I would say, what's it costing you to not do it? Start small by just getting awareness about what are you projecting into this reality. and go back with intention, the intention for clearing it. I don't know. I've had the fortune to coach folks in just so many different circumstances and so much types of different and varying levels of trauma. It's always healable. I even was a part of a project. I didn't go into the prison and do it, but I was a while back was a part of a project called The Bigger Game that was taking coaching training into prisons, and they did some amazing work in there because they actually went in and helped people that were had a life sentence actually imagine their future self, actually imagine having like a brighter future. And just the idea, because folks that have been in that condition have never contemplated that. I mean, we're so blessed to be able to walk around out here with all of the access that we have to information and spiritual work. There's a certain spiritual movement that's happening on the planet. There's an unfolding that's happening. We're so blessed to have the opportunity to even be able to do that. And so, when we went into the prisons and did that work, I mean, just to imagine people that had never had a glimpse of their higher nature, never had a glimpse of themselves, being able to go back and discover that for the first time. I mean, I just think you owe it to the planet at this point in the game. I think it's actually your obligation to be a relevant citizen on planet Earth. So I just think that. Yes. I just think you owe it to yourself and the planet to do it at this point.
It is the reason you are here, no matter how painful it is. You can delay the pain or face the pain so you can nip it in the bud,
Right.
So I hear you. We've got a good question here. Let me go to the caller, Diamond from Charlotte. She got a good question, and it goes in line with what you're talking about. Hello, Diamond. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Very well. Yes. What's your
Hello,
question?
Hello, Veronica.
Like
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
I'm great,
so glad
thank
to
you.
Hear from you. I
thank
have worked
you.
With Veronica. She's helped me tremendously, and I definitely wanted to chime in because you said something today that triggered this question, actually. I had a friend who committed suicide a couple of years ago who had all of the things that we think we want, and my question is, I was thinking that maybe some of her old habits, maybe some of her old thoughts came back to visit her. And how do you control that from happening is my question to Veronica today.
How do you control the thoughts from coming back, the haunting thoughts, the demons, you mean?
Yeah, because I'm sure that that's probably what happened to her. Because, she had everything that we thought, we think we want, brand new house, getting proposed, she was engaged to be married, great job, everything was in place, but something was not in place.
Well, the answer that is not the easy answer,
right.
And sort of a refrain of what we've sort of been talking about here is the old thoughts and demons coming back to haunt you are really a function of having never fully addressed them.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
why they come back. They keep reappearing because they haven't really been deconstructed and dismantled in your consciousness, right? And so we continue. They revisit because they actually haven't been healed, and so and it's interesting because the more we suppress them, the bigger they become, and the more magnified they become, and the more empowered they become. Right, the negative thoughts, and that's why it's so critical. That's why it really is a question of life or death, because those things left unchecked will grow and they will take on a life of their own. And
I remember
so,
the
I
word
think,
that you used before that was like a game changer for me and a number of. Guest on my show when you were there was you used the word handled. If it's not handle it, then it won't come, with the breakthrough. If it's not handled, it's not a breakthrough. And that has stuck with me And I still have a client who was also on the call that day, and it stuck with her. And it's just so powerful. If it's not handled, it's not a breakthrough.
Right. If it keeps reemerging that hasn't been fully resolved, it's like, because when I do the breakthrough work, it's done. Like, it doesn't come back to haunt. It's done. Done and done. You know,
yes.
And when it's done, it's fully congruent. It's fully lined up in your nervous system. You fully can act from it. It's fully cleared. The behavior. I remember working with a CEO back in D.C. and she runs a $55 million company, and she had this thing about time. Like, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. Oh my God, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. And so I went back and I did a session with her on time, and we regressed her back into her mother's womb. And that's when she realized that she'd made the decision about not having enough time. And she said somehow there was this issue around time, as there often is with pregnant women, because the babies are just sitting there kind of immersed in the energy in the field, right, that the mother's experiencing. So if it's a story about money, if it's a story about time, a lot of that stuff gets imprinted, right, back in that space and time. And so we cleared it so that it was handled, like you're saying, right? Like, we got it handled. Mm-hmm. And so she goes back and she talks to her parents at Christmas, and, you know, and she's like, was there some issue around time? When you were pregnant with me, was there some issue around not having enough time? And they said, well, yeah, right? And they described sort of the circumstances that they were in about. And so she had so she was kind of blown away, because she's like this, you know, big girl CEO, right? But then from that moment forward, you know, once we did the clearing, she's like, all of a sudden I have all this time. I don't know what to do. I have so much time. It literally, when it's handled, when you deal with it at its root, at the gestalt, at the root cause, you'll find that the behavior and the stuff, it just clears right away automatically. So it is true that you can have that level of breakthrough, that level of transformation in a really short period of time. And when people have demons and have this level of resignation, so much so that they believe that life is no longer worth living, it's deeply important to go back and confront those things head on. It's so important. They just don't go away. They actually grow. They actually grow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They grow
in darkness. Thank you.
Thank you, Diamond. Thank you so much. You know, you woke something up inside of me, Veronica, as you were talking about time, because that's one of my songs. I'm always feeling like I don't have enough time, and I know, I see how it plays out, because once we hold an idea in mind, in consciousness, it will play out. The universe,
yes,
just the way it works through the laws of the universe, will support you to say, see, I don't have enough time. And it's funny,
that's
because
right.
Now I'm thinking, I gotta talk to my father. My mom has made her transition. But I know that, in a way, sometimes it plagues me, because there's so many things I want to do, but I just don't have time. When I'm talking to Celeste about shows or something, I tell her, I don't have time for that. She'll laugh, and you always say that. It's like, I know. But what also came up for me was, as you were talking, I'm thinking, I wonder what the story was around time with my mother or my dad, whoever, at that time when they were pregnant, if that's when it happened. But I do know that not long after my mother gave birth to me, she got what we called in England a nanny, somebody to take care of me. And I was actually living with the nanny while my mom went back to work. And I was an infant. It was around, I don't know, I think, because my nanny, I spoke to her, Pat, and she was telling me that, you know, she had me from an infant. I can't remember what she told me. I was blown away. I'm like, really? I was that young? And for me, I've always felt like, you know, to give your child to somebody, kindergarten, daycare, whatever. And I'm not knocking parents who have to do it or do it, but I'm just saying, when I think about to have your child go stay with somebody when they're still new, they're few a month old or something, I've always wondered how that affects the child. And I think, really, we should.
Right.
This is my thoughts. Nobody needs to be by my head off. We should just stop doing it, you know. But I understand we live in a different world, and everybody got to do what they need to do. But for me, it brought up that whole thing about time. It's like, I know my mom could not, basically went back to work while somebody else was taking care of me. So,
Right. And so, what happens is we have an event, we have an emotional event that happens, and we assign a meaning to it. Because nothing, in other words, the way belief
gets formed and the way identity gets formed is really how we assign meaning to events. Like, what does this mean? So because my mother gave me to a nanny, what does that mean about me? What does that mean about me? Right? And so what that means about, like, who do you think you are? Like, what that means about me? So then what happens is we get that, we make a decision about it with some degree of trauma or emotion or something. We assign a lot of emotion to the meaning. And then what happens, and this is really the science around it, you know, in any given second, any given moment, we experience, you know, 2 million bits of information per second through our five senses, through our six senses, right? I believe we have a sixth sense also. We have 2 million bits of information through our senses, you know, so bam, you know, I'm taking in 2 million bits of information through what I see and what I hear and what I feel and all of that's stored in the subconscious mind. From any moment to moment, we're only filtering in consciously 134 bits per second. So consciously we're aware of 134 bits per second through our five senses. Subconsciously we're registering 2 million bits of information per second. So that means we're filtering out a lot and we're filtering in very little. And what we filter for is based on what we believe and what our beliefs are and what our identity is. So we're only filtering for what we believe. So if we assign some meaning called, well, because I was given to a nanny, it means that I don't, you know, people don't have enough time for me or my, you know, whatever the meaning was, you'll begin to collect evidence for that meaning and only for that meaning, and you will filter out all evidence to the contrary. So that's how we get behaviors. That's how a behavior happens, right? We'll filter for only what we believe and the meaning that we've assigned. That's actually how it works in the brain.
Right, because I want to talk. I mean, I know we're coming close to time, and we actually, can you stay a little bit longer? Because I want to talk about the mind. Yeah. Okay, good.
Sure.
When you talk about when it's done, I really want to talk more about that. But you brought up, I'm thinking as you were talking, it's like, so when we filter, we actually filter in at a dial up speed. You know, remember when AOL, Comcast, you know, take so long to connect.
Right.
While now you turn your computer on and we're online. If you could just imagine that, you know, as we filter and process, we're processing on a dial-up speed. And nobody in their right mind would dare use dial-up right now. Because I know I can't. Because I don't have time.
Right.
It would drive me nuts. It would drive me nuts. Now, I know you're a practitioner of NLP, and maybe you can say a little bit about that and how you work with people when you talk about when it's done, because you're really talking about working with the mind, working with the programming, and reprogramming the beliefs or releasing the old beliefs. So can you talk a little bit about NLP and how you work with clients?
Sure. Well, just briefly, NLP stands for neuro-linguistic programming, and N stands for neuro, and linguistic stands for language. And so a linguist and a neurologist got together, and they looked at how the brain was coded to support and how human beings responded, how they created meaning, how they created results, how they created everything through their neurology and through their language and the connection between the two. So they developed a series of practices that that kind of decoded that really looked at how we represent or represent reality to ourselves and how we do that through what we see, through what we smell, through what we feel, through what we hear, and how we process all of that information. So so basically NLP is sort of it's sort of like having the computer manual to your operating system. That's how I see it. And the reason that I began to study NLP is because when I began to do work in the Black community, and we pioneered a lot of stuff in the Black community. We partnered with National Black Professional Associations. We were really the first coaching organization to go into the Black community with a culturally competent model of coaching and kind of blanket the community with our work. But when I looked at, you know, the history of slavery and the history of 400 years of conditioning in a negative conditioning in the Black community, I said, we don't need some strong medicine to make us whole. And so
indeed.
So that's what really is the reason that I because the conditioning's been so deep and it's so subconscious and it gets handed down so intergenerationally at this point. So I said,
and
it's
in
medicine.
The DNA. I mean,
it's
really
in the
become
DNA.
Part of the DNA, you know? People say, oh, slavery's over, let's just move on. No, it's not. For some people, they found the defect, and it's still alive. Yes, defect
right.
Anyway.
You can look at you can look at our community and you can look at the results that we're getting in our community. And it's a miracle that we've been so resilient to even survive. And
yes.
But we're not maximizing our full potential because we've had this 400 years of internalized depression.
Mm-hmm.
So I really looked for what's the strongest medicine that would actually – and I was also working with folks that in low-income communities doing financial coach training and helping people recover their lives in low-income – teaching coaches in the philanthropic sector to work with folks that were coming out of crazy situations.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what's the strongest, most direct – medicine that I can. I need the big guns. What can I do? and so NLP came up, and so I got a lot of black coaches trained and certified in NLP because I just found that it was so powerful and it was so immediate, and you could just go in and literally reprogram the way people represent or represent reality to themselves. And So what happens is literally you can go in and you can interrupt patterns. It's like if you think about the human brain and the way that it functions, you could think about it like – I'm dating myself. You could think about it like an LP, for albums, remember back in the day, you know, like an LP, and it has grooves in it, right? And if you play that record over and over again, it's got these patterns in it, and the patterns are going to create a particular result or a particular sound or a particular – right? And so the human brain is the same way. It's got grooves in it. It's got neural pathways in it. It's got habits. It's got, you know, imprints in it that cause the being, that cause certain results, that cause a person to behave in a particular way. Well, in NLP, what you do is you go in and you scratch the pattern. You scratch the record, right? And it'll never play the same again. And so that's how you get it handled, is you literally go in and you change the way people represent stuff. You have them rediscover and relearn their, you know, and reassign new meanings to what they've experienced in their childhood. And so you scratch the record until it never plays the same again. And so that's the best metaphor of how it actually works. There's a lot of different tools. You know, I'm a gangster street hypnotist, and so I've learned to take people into trances in, like, you know, 10 minutes and, you know, take them down and get handle phobias, handle fears, handle, you know, intergenerational stuff. I mean, so you can. It's a very effective, fast way to go in and just shift things at the root, to scratch the record so that people perform differently. And that's really what I've always been about. Like, what are the tools that I can bring to the table that can help people perform differently right away?
Yes, yes. I mean, you talk about the record, I think of computers, and with the computer world has taught us a lot about ourselves, because if you have a program and your computer is not working right, you're having issues with it, most of the time they say, have you upgraded it? And some of us are working on software that's outdated, and we refuse to upgrade it. We refuse to delete the program that's not working, the virus, the spyware. But we've got to do the inner work. So really the whole thing about play to win from within is about going and reprogramming and taking out, deleting softwares that are no longer serving you. Then, because play is who we are naturally, our essence. We see it in children. We see it in puppies and kittens. When we see puppies, oh, they're so cute. Now, when the puppy becomes a dog, we're like, nobody really cares. But at that young age, you see play, you see joy, you see love, you see freedom. But life happens, and then we reprogram ourselves, then we create a groove. Our brain is wired a certain way. But some of us are too afraid to rewire our brain. But it's all part of the process. Go ahead.
Because your natural life force, your natural spiritual energy, and I've done a lot of energy work with some amazing spiritual masters, your natural life force is playful, is rambunctious, is like childlike, is, you know, it's almost, how would I explain it? When your spiritual energy, your true self is really unleashed, and not all constrained by all of the stories that you've picked up and all of the events that you've assigned meanings to. It's really unconstrained, it really is, it's almost uncontrollable. It's just you're just a walking, breathing life force, and you're curious, and you know, and you sense and you smell, and you know, people consider that like a state of enlightenment. It's actually our birthright to be in this state of enlightenment, to be that connected to everything. It's just that we tamp everything down as we've taken on these disempowering identities, and we've taken on all this stuff and the story about who we are. That's what tamps us down. But our real nature, when I really met my inner self, when I actually met myself for the first time, like really like met the innocent self, I just fell in love because it's so precious and it's so available to everything.
Right.
But but you know, the journey to get there meant undoing all the things that were not that.
Yes.
You have to undo the things that aren't that to tell you that you can't be that. That's the walk.
The journey to meet your inner self starts up like a blind date. I don't know. What if you don't like me? What if she doesn't like me? I don't know.
Like,
you know,
a blind date.
I don't know. I'm afraid. I need someone to go with me. But once you finally get there, it's like, oh, my God, you're my soulmate. You get to meet yourself in a whole new way.
Yeah. You fall
in
before love.
You go.
Fall in love,
It is. It's truly, truly, truly. And that, we get to experience, I mean, we get to experience love, and love gets to give us its meaning rather than us giving love a meaning. And because for me, I say that, you know, when you define love, you limit it. When you define God, you limit the experience for somebody else. God is not something to define or explain. Love is not something to define. Love, God, I mean, it's synonymous. Anyway, it's something you experience. And once you've experienced it, once you've
yes,
indeed, and then your life becomes an example of that experience. I mean, as I listen to you as we talk, it's like there's a part of me that's, I can feel it so strong. It's like there's so much more to this woman. I feel your spirit. You know, it's like I'm trying to just stay focused and not get whooped away because I can feel the energy. So every now and then you talk about other things that you've done. I'm like, yep, I know that. Yep. Because there's so much more, and some people need the more, some people need the, you know, let's just do this step and that step, but, you know, there's enough for all of us. Now, I was talking about, as we get ready to release the show, I want to ask you this, because it comes from me, and listeners may be wondering, but I want to know for me. You know, you talked about your experience as a childhood, being, you know, having a gun to your head, your father being convicted at the age of 7, and all that you've been through as a child of a Black Panther, all that comes with that, and the identity issues, and the way you're born, everything that you can think about. Now, what is your relationship with your dad like right now?
It's beautiful, actually. I mean, he is, and it wasn't always so. My all three of my parents, I had to, you know, I had to figure it out about them and the forgiveness because there was there was so much happening. He is still in prison. He's been in a very major battle, actually. He's been through. It's amazing because he's been very beautiful and peaceful internally, and he's used his journey as sort of a spiritual. He's been in prison for 37 years, and so it's been a long journey. And he's had very powerful forces, the U.S. Attorney, the previous U.S. Attorney General, and the Fraternal Order of Police, and just very, very powerful political forces kind of gunning against him. And, you know, it's a very strange thing to exist in this world knowing that those forces are against your father. I mean, you know, and reconciling yourself to, you know, what is your, how do you impact the U.S. I mean, how do you have an impact when the U.S. government is gunning against your father? I mean, it's a real question, like, about power. You know, I've had to really grapple with issues of power because power has played and issues of power have played a really big role in my life. But he is beautiful in the sense of how elegantly, I would say, and very, very powerfully he the dignified way in which he maintains his situation. If you want to find out more about him, you can go to veronza.org, V-E-R-O-N-Z, like zebra A.org. He's got a website. Mm-hmm. And he's got a...
Can you say that website address again?
Yeah. It's V-E-R-O-N-Z-A, veronza.org. And, you know, he's got a very powerful kind of message and experience. And so we've had our challenges and we've had our things to heal. And at the same time, you know, today I would say our relationship is better than ever. I mean, we kind of understand each other. We really understand one another. And, you know, he's very proud to be a grandfather. You know, he is very proud of the job that I've done with the two kids, and you know, it's been a real blessing. I mean, that all came with healing. I would say it didn't come out of thin air. It came out of being willing to go back and do healing around the things that were wounding to us back in our experience, and to be willing to face those things.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, I'm restraining myself. Your healing story, your healing journey. I think that will be another show to talk about your healing experience and how, what it took for you to forgive them, forgive yourself, and move on and literally create your own path and say, this is how I want to bring balance to life. But a couple of questions. One is, what do you do to stay balanced and stay grounded, especially when things are coming at you and you feel like, my God, okay, I got all these tools, but right now I don't have access to it. How do you find balance and find balance?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I'm really in a walking embodiment of the work. You know, I do the work. So I do a lot of internal spiritual processes from a lot of different modalities. So, like I said, just the other day I was doing some emotional freedom technique. I was tapping and doing some clearing around stuff. There are some technologies that I indulge in that are called bioetherics and radionics. That it's a healing frequency that you can send at a distance. And I've put me and my kids on that healing frequency. And this frequency, it flushes the auric field out so that you kind of become your higher self. I really am my own laboratory in a certain way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I also, in the last year, I've kind of taken a step back from my business to kind of really reevaluate what it is that I want to create. So I also have as much as I've gotten up and pushed and created in my life, and I mean, you know, a year ago, I mean, I was pushing and creating. I was a single mom, and I was running three companies, and I got my kids $1 million in private school education for $25,000, because my kids are also the embodiment of the things that I teach. I mean, it's not just with my work, it's with my children also. They are little sort of superhumans, and I caused that. And so, but when I got tired, I can take a step back from the work and have the wisdom to sort of be still for a period of time and allow more in to sort of re-inspire and repurpose me. And so it's both knowing how to like move forward when you're called to move forward and do a lot of things and a lot of action, and then it's knowing when to step back and trust that you can do that and still remain relevant and know that what is for you is for you. So that's one part of the balance. And then always being in a process of the constantly doing the work and unfolding. And I find now that I don't manifest so much out of what I get up and go and do. I manifest out of what I clear out of my psyche, and then the thing just shows up. So it's not about going out and chasing the thing. It's like I find that if I clear the stuff out of my psyche about the conflict or the incongruence, the stuff will just show up. I remember when I was, I was saying, I want to work with it. We had a company called Phenom, and I was working with celebrities and athletes and entertainers, and I said, we want to work with basketball players, and I want to work, you know, but they don't really get me. The tall boys with the balls, the NBA players, they don't really understand who I am. They're not going to understand my jargon and my language. And so somebody worked with me and they cleared that belief from me. And then literally 2 days later, I was at a conference, and somebody walked up to me and they were like, oh, I work with the NBA. I've been wanting to bring coaching to the NBA. Wow, you're the person to do it. I had no previous experience with this. I had no – I'm not a big basketball follower. I just didn't know. But it was the clearing of the disempowering belief that actually created the opportunity, not me chasing it. And so I really want people to get – I really want anyone that's listening to get that. You don't effort as dramatically. You don't – it's not a struggle. It's not such a push. When you're actually congruent with the desires of your heart – and all things are lined up towards it, and your spirit is a real availability, unconsciously and consciously, then it'll just arrive. You don't have to go get it. And so the more you clear, the more you receive. And I think we sometimes get it backwards, like the more I do, the more I'll receive. No, the more you clear, the more you'll receive.
Oh, gosh.
Woo! No, we are not extending the show. We're ending the show real soon. But we're definitely bringing you back. This is just an introduction. This is like us meeting in the elevator. This is our elevator speech. It's lasted a little bit more than 30 seconds or less.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that I can talk about. I help people make big money. I mean, and so there's the money piece and the building a business and how do you, you know, I mean, there's getting your kids $1 million in education for $25,000. Like, how do you manifest that? Like, what are the kinds of decisions that you have to make to be able to do that? I mean, there's a mindset that creates all of that. And so that's, and to have increasing capacity to be able to dynamically orchestrate all of that and summon all of that into your experience requires a level of receptivity and openness in the mind that I think, you know, that's what it really is more than anything else. And I've interviewed a lot of very, very successful people and coached some very, very, you know, renowned, you know, name brand people. And it's always the mindset. It's always their capacity. It's always that I notice is the thing that creates their reality. It's not what they do per se. They may not even know it. But it's not what they do. It's what they think.
Indeed. And that clearing that you talk about, you know, clearing the junk, clearing the mess, clearing the story, clearing the saboteur, clearing all the stuff that is getting in the way for the life force to move through you. Teresa in the chat room saying, once you take the kink out of the spiritual holes, the lifeline now has no restriction and the channel is now open and flowing as freely as it's meant to. Indeed, indeed, indeed. Veronica, anything else you want to share with our listeners before we release you? Any thought, maybe you think you have coming up or whatever you need the listeners to know?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, if you're whatever you're going through right now, just understand that it really is a part, you know, with perspective, there is a gift that's actually available to you in this moment and this space and time that is available like in an instant. And so, whatever you're going through, if you can begin to search for the gift that is available in it, then I think that is very powerful. The other thing is that I wanted to extend an offer to folks if anyone wants to, anyone listening or listening to the replay of this. Wants to do just a simple half-hour strategy session with me. I do breakthroughs pretty fast. I've got the need for speed. You can email me at veronica@veronicaconway.com. That's veronica@veronicaconway.com and set up a time to do a quick breakthrough session. So. If anyone is interested in that, I'm making that available as my gift to you today.
Thank you.
And, yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for the work you do. Thank you for the healing of humanity that you stand for. You know, you're definitely making it happen. And I look forward to having you back because I know there's so much more on the surface called Veronica Conway. I can feel it. I can sense it. Thank you, my sister. I truly appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to Celeste.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Veronica Conway. That's her website, Veronica Conway. She has a story and she's telling it. What's your story? You want to play from within? You want to play to win? You got to go within. That's where the work is. And I love what Veronica said about clearing, because really that's the truth. The spiritual growth and transformation is about clearing stuff that's not serving you anymore. It's not about acquiring and getting. It's about recognizing you are that you're looking for. You are that you seek. And everything that you've been through is for your own growth and transformation. Everything that you've been through. And no matter how bad it is, no matter how traumatic it was, I don't care what you call it, it is for your own growth and transformation. The question is, are you willing to do the work? Are you willing to allow life to reveal itself through and as you? And when you get to a point where you can just clear, just allow, God is always talking, God is always communicating, God is always loving this universe, this life force, this space, this thing that is no thing, is always seeking a place
and a space to express itself. So when you clear, God gets to express itself because you've made room. Are you willing? Are you ready? No matter what stories you've been telling yourself, it's time to reprogram. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. This is State of Man. We all fall down. I'll be back tomorrow. And what are we doing tomorrow? Oh, we have Danella Ford. Danella Ford is coming back. Powerhouse, another powerful sister. So this week is going to turn out to be amazing. And because that's the intention. Be love. It's the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. Your life depends on it. And allow the love to flow in and out. Be loved. Don't be too strong for love. Thank you for tuning in. Share the show. And we'll be back tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. This is State of Man. We Fall Down. And the website address is stateofmanmusic.com. Peace and blessings. Back again. Hard enough to make it through the day without holding yourself back. Then I search for a better way. Wish I could change the past. And I learn forgiveness starts with me. I put my worries down and set my spirit free.
Motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.